Great worship today. Turn with me, if you will, over to Romans chapter 10. That's where we're going to be today, Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 9 through 15 in just a few minutes. Romans 10, 9 through 15. Every couple of years, I like to spend at least one sermon or some time talking about Lottie Moon. And, you know, we're in the midst of taking up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And although a lot of our people know who Lottie Moon is, we have some new folks that maybe don't know anything about her and why we take up this offering in her name every year. So we're going to talk about her today and look at some scriptures that kind of go along with her life, and then what we can learn from Lottie's life and how we can apply that to our lives and her love for the Lord and her love for the gospel. But let's read our scripture today first, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. These are familiar passage that you know pretty well, but some great verses here. Verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things." As our scripture indicated, Lottie Moon had beautiful feet. I have no idea what Lottie's feet really look like. But according to what the scripture says, she had beautiful feet because she brought hope to people who needed to hear. She brought the gospel. She was sent as a Southern Baptist missionary to China from 1873 to 1912. And she saw firsthand with her own eyes our greatest problem that we know in the world, and that's the problem of lostness. She saw that with her eyes. And while she was in China, Lottie met many people who had never heard the gospel, and it compelled her to write letters to American churches describing the need for a greater missionary presence there in that time. And so she pleaded for increased prayer. She pleaded for financial support to send and sustain more missionaries to China. And so this challenge became known as the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And that's why we take up that offering today. But before we go any further, let's look at Lottie Moon's life. Who is Lottie Moon? Well, basically, we know that she's the namesake of Southern Baptist International Missions Giving. Go ahead and go to that next slide there, if you will. There we go. That's her. That's Lottie Moon. So she's the namesake of Southern Baptist International Missions Giving. In 1918... the Women's Missionary Union, WMU, named the annual Christmas offering for international missions after the woman who had urged them to start it, Lottie Moon. Today, do you know who the president of the WMU was at that time? Annie Armstrong. We'll talk about it Easter, okay? But they named this offering after her. And so today, Southern Baptist churches all across America collect an offering at Christmas to support our international missionaries around the world. And as Leslie mentioned earlier, 100% of the money that's collected goes to support the missionaries. What about before Lottie Moon was a missionary? Let's talk about her life just for a minute. She was born, her name is Charlotte Diggs Moon. She was born on December 12, 1840 in Albemarle County, Virginia. Now, what you may not know is that Lottie Moon rebelled against Christianity throughout her childhood, even up into her college years. So she rebelled against Christianity. In fact, she would often tell people the D in her name stood for devil, not Diggs, because she just didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord or Christianity or the Bible or anything like that. But in December of 1858, she dedicated her life to Christ and she was baptized at the First Baptist Church of Charlottesville, Virginia. She attended Albemarle Female Institute, which was a counterpart of the University of Virginia, a female counterpart. And so she attended there. And in 1861, she was one of the very first Southern women to receive a master's degree, which is pretty amazing. And she stayed very close to home for a while during the Civil War, but eventually she began to teach school in Kentucky, Georgia, and Virginia. So let's talk about her missionary work. Now, Lottie Moon's sister, Edmonia Moon, was already a missionary in China. So she was appointed to Tingchao, China in 1872. But Lottie began to feel like the Lord was calling her to missions. And so she too was appointed and joined her sister in the work there in China. So she set sail for China, and Lottie Moon was there for 32 years old. Now, in order to accept this position as a missionary, in order to be appointed as a missionary to China, Lottie Moon actually turned down a marriage proposal. She left her job, she left her home, she left her family, because she wanted to follow God's lead in her life. And her path wasn't typical for an educated woman at that time, a woman who came from a wealthy family, but God had gripped her heart with the Chinese people's need for a savior. And so for 39 years, Lottie Moon labored in Tingchao and Pingtu. Now, during that time, people feared her, they rejected her, but she did not refuse to leave. She would often bake cookies as a way to get into people's homes or to invite people into her home. And so the smell of fresh baked cookies drew people to her house. She adopted traditional Chinese dress. She learned their language. She learned their customs. So Lottie Moon didn't just serve the people of China. She identified with them in the way that she talked, in the way that she looked. And eventually, many of these individuals began to accept her. We know that some accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so Lottie Moon was passionate about people knowing Christ. She didn't hesitate to speak her mind. And we know that today China is a world of rapid change. It's home to 1.4 billion people, one-fifth of the world's population. Village dwellers flock to trendy megacities with exploding populations, and China holds its own in the world economy. We know that. And it's very different from the vast farmland that Lottie Moon knew in the 1800s. But there's one thing that hasn't changed. China still needs Jesus. Amen. And so we need to pray for China and their need for Christ. We talked a little bit about her letters. Let's talk a little bit more, Lottie's letters and the inspiration there. Lottie wrote letters home detailing China's hunger for truth and the struggle of so few missionaries taking the gospel to, at that time when she lived, 472 million Chinese people. And so she also shared the urgent need for more workers and more Southern Baptists to support missions there through prayer and through giving. And she once wrote home to the Foreign Mission Board, as it was called at that time, "Please say to the new missionaries that they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial." And so then by 1888, Southern Baptist women of the WMU organized and collected, for that time it was a lot of money, $3,315 to send workers needed to China. It's about $91,000 in today's money. So it was very difficult for them to collect that amount of money, but they did, and they used it to send more missionaries to China. Well, what kind of legacy does Lottie Moon leave behind? Let's talk about her legacy for just a minute. Lottie Moon gave herself completely to God. She helped to lay the foundation of what would become the modern day Chinese church, one of the fastest growing Christian movements in all of the world. Lottie Moon died when she was 72 years old on Christmas Eve She became ill and in declining health after decades of ministering to her beloved Chinese people. But her legacy lives on today. And today, when gifts aren't growing as quickly as the number of workers God is calling to the field, her call for sacrificial giving rings with urgency more than ever today, because we know that there's a great work that needs to be, that is still yet to be done. More people are needed to carry the gospel around the world. And so her call to motivate and to mobilize missionaries is even growing today. It rings true today among us. And that's the legacy that she leaves behind. But let's talk about the impact of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Now, these are some statistics that you can find on their website. These are last year's statistics. We know that because of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that 67 new people groups were engaged, which is pretty significant when you think that there, you know, there are still over 3,000 unreached, unengaged people groups. We know that 728,589 people heard the gospel. That's that we know of. We know that there are probably lots of other gospel conversations because of a certain missionary that we know that sometimes didn't always put her numbers in the way she was supposed to. We know that there was probably lots of gospel conversations that happened that didn't get reported. And I'm not saying that as a rebuke. I'm just saying it's just natural that we don't report everything, okay? So we know that there were many more gospel conversations that happened, okay? We know that 178,000 people became new believers. We know that 102,000 people followed up with baptism. We know that over 21,000 new churches were planted. Guys, this is huge. Planting churches in other nations, because we understand that our missionaries are only there for perhaps a short time, but these churches will remain forever. And so planting these churches, the work of these missionaries will carry on until the end of time. And so over 21,000 new churches planted. We know that over 146,000 individuals received some kind of leadership training to help them, pastors and teachers, to help them in ministry situations. And we know that because of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, get this, it fully funds over 3,500 full-time missionaries around the world. That means our missionaries don't have to go to individual churches and ask for money. That money will already be there for them. All their supplies are needed, are given. All their funds are given. Insurance, medical stuff, all that's taken care of through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so they can, yeah, amen. So they can... they can focus on missions the way they're supposed to. That's the impact of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So why do we say all that? Why don't we talk about Lottie Moon? Why don't we talk about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? Next thing I want to do is how we can be like Lottie Moon. Okay? How can we be like her? Lottie Moon wasn't just missions-minded. She was missions-active. Okay? You may not know this. Lottie Moon was not a very big woman. In fact, she was only about 4'9". That is, if to put that in perspective, I'm not very tall, but that's almost a foot shorter than me. That's how small she was. That's how small stature she was. So standing only at 4'9", the Lord gave her a passion for missions, and she went all in to what the Lord had called her to. She confidently went and persuaded others to consider the reality of people going to hell apart from Christ. And so there's three things that we normally talk about when it comes to missions, right? The big three, okay? First of all is prayer. That's a big one. That's where it starts. And that is perhaps the most important thing that any of us can do when it comes to missions and our missionaries is to pray. Pray for their safety and success of our missionaries. Pray that they would have boldness as they serve and peace as they're away from their families. Pray that those who they encounter, those who are lost, would sense their spiritual need for Jesus. Pray that the gospel would spread rapidly in the areas where IMB missionaries are serving. Listen, we pray for our missionaries every Wednesday night during House of Prayer. And so we are actively involved as a church in praying for our missionaries. And so we pray that the gospel would spread rapidly in these areas. And then we pray for those who God is calling in our church. We've had several who are beginning to sense God's calling to go to the nations. We need to pray for these young people as they're trying to figure out what God is doing in their hearts as they're beginning to serve the Lord in these ways. And so pray for those who God is calling. But beyond praying, we have to go, right? Somebody has to go. Prayer is important, but somebody has to go. And so the question is, are you called to go? Maybe you could be involved in a short-term mission trip. Listen, the IMB has several opportunities for shorter trips. Lottie Moon once wrote of the situation in China. She said, "We implore you," crying out to American churches and Americans, "we implore you to send us help. Let not these heathens sink down into the eternal death without one opportunity to hear the blessed gospel, which is to you the source of all joy and comfort." And so we need people to go. Maybe it's not career. Maybe it's short term, but maybe it is career. You know, our IMB sends out missionaries of all ages. People even retire and go to the mission field. So God can use every one of us. And so maybe God is calling you to go. Why do we need to go? Why do we need more to go? Because we still have over 3,100 unreached, unengaged people groups around the world. Now, there are only a little over 12,000 people groups, so there's still quite a few people groups that are unreached and unengaged with the gospel. Of those unreached, unengaged people groups, that equals out to 4.6 billion people around the world who are unreached. Guys, that is almost 60% of our world that is still unreached and needs to know Jesus and hear the gospel. Almost 60% of the world. And we know that because of that, there are 173,000 people dying every day without ever having made a decision really well as we're sending people. And so we have to do our part and we have to trust God to do his part. Listen, guys, it's a privilege to be able to give to the work of ministry. It's a privilege to be able to share our tithes and offerings with this church and then going out further to reach the nations. It's a privilege to give. It's a privilege to send. It's a privilege to send out individuals to the nations. And remember the verse that we read earlier. Look at verse 15 again. Or 14. How can they call on him that they have not believed in? How can they believe without hearing about him? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. So be a giver. Be a sender. Because guys, let me just say, there's no greater cause to get behind than the kingdom of God and sending individuals to the nations. Okay? So pray, yes. That's something we don't even have to argue about that. That's the first thing we do. But beyond that, maybe going. But if you can't go, sending and giving so that others can go. We all play a part in missions. And Lottie Moon understood that. That's why she wrote letters to America to rally people who do have the means many times and who can give to others who can go. The final thing that I want to mention this morning is that when we think about all this stuff, the gospel is worth it. The gospel is worth it. Jesus said in Matthew 13:44, and I referenced this verse last week, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field that a man has found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. That's how valuable Jesus is. That's how valuable the kingdom of God is. It's the most valuable, it's the most precious thing. And you and I have the precious gift of the gospel. And a gift that we've been given not to sit on and hold and treasure, but to share with other people. We treasure it, yes, but we treasure it in a way that we share it with other people because we want them to know the hope of Jesus Christ as well. So the gospel is worth it. The gospel, when the kingdom of God is our treasure, listen, it becomes an all-consuming passion. Because Jesus and his kingdom are valuable. Jesus also said in Matthew 16:26, what will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will it give a man in exchange for his life? You know, what's the value of a life? We would say a life is priceless, right? And God places an invaluable price on the lives of humanity. That's the reason he sent his son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. It's because people matter to God. And that makes sowing the seeds of the gospel worth it. We talked last week about those missionaries that were in Iraq, who were sent by IMB over to Iraq right after Saddam Hussein was driven out of power. And I was supposed to go with some other pastors to on a mission trip to go alongside those missionaries to see how we in America could come alongside them and support the missions. Literally hours before we were supposed to go, the IMB canceled our trip. And it wasn't just a couple of weeks later that all four of our missionaries there were tragically killed. And so there was an uprising. I shared this last week, but some of you are here, and I want you to hear it because it's important. There was an uprising. There would be people that were criticizing the IMB. Why would you send people to places where they could die? Why would you send people to places where people are hostile toward the gospel? But what these four individuals understood is there was a window of opportunity after Saddam Hussein was no longer in power that we could go in and share the gospel, and they took every advantage of that. And Jerry Rankin, who was our former IMB president, said these lives weren't taken, they were given. Given for the sake of the gospel. And who knows the impact, even though they were there for a short time, who knows the impact that these IMB missionaries made while they were there in Iraq, and how many people came to faith in Christ, and how much longer this work is continuing to go on because they were willing to go to a difficult place because they understood, you know what, the gospel is worth it. It's even more important than my life because they knew the danger. And so our IMB personnel, they weren't irresponsible. The way I look at it, they were responsible to send people to places that need to hear the gospel. The gospel is worth it. And guys, as we've often said, kingdom work is hard. It is. I know we kid sometimes, pastors, well, you only work one day a week, and you don't only work 30 minutes if your sermon's about 30 minutes. But I'm here to tell you, kingdom work is hard. And listen, you guys understand that because you are all actively involved in kingdom work in one way or another. It's hard. It's difficult. Loving people is difficult. It's messy. And when you start to love people and help them in their life and you think, I'm going to help in this one area, then all of a sudden you see there are 10 other things that you have to deal with beyond that one thing that you thought that was the only thing you're going to deal with. There's 10 other layers that we have to deal with here. Kingdom work is hard, but I'm here to tell you that it's worth it. The gospel's worth it. It's worth it to give. It's worth it to give sacrificially. I'm going to be preaching a sermon in a couple weeks on tithing. Yeah, on tithing. I'm going to talk about giving, so I hope you'll still be here, okay? But it's important that we talk about that, but it's a blessing to give. Amen? Everybody knows that because when we give gifts at Christmas, how much joy do we have when we see our children or grandchildren open up a gift? I know some of our kids, we have a sibling exchange. You know, these guys draw names between the siblings, and then they all know each other really well. And when on Christmas Eve, when they're opening up this gift, you can see the anticipation in their eyes about the other person that they drew opening their gift and the joy that they have when that other person opens the gift. We all know what that looks like. We all know how that feels. It's a blessing to give. And note, what better thing to give at is in the kingdom of God and for the Lord's work. So the gospel's worth it. Sowing the seeds of the gospel is not a duty, it's an opportunity. An opportunity to share a life-changing message of hope with other people. And so the question is are we willing to reach the people that no one else wants to reach? Are we willing to invest time and effort and money for what God thinks is so important that he allowed his only son to be sacrificed for the sins of the world? As I come to a close this morning, I want to share a quote with you that Lottie Moon said. And the reason we take up this offering at Christmas. She said, Is not the festive season when families and friends exchange gifts in memory of the gift, capital G, laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race, the most appropriate time to consecrate a portion from abounding riches and scant poverty to send forth the good tidings of great joy to all the earth? And I say, amen to that. Amen to that. It's a perfect time to give to the kingdom and for the namesake of the Lord, so that he'll be known among the nations. So there's lots of ways that we can be like Lottie Moon. And I know if she were here today, she would say, listen, don't praise me, you know, don't worship me. And we're not. But we're celebrating her faithfulness. And we are celebrating a woman who knew what it was to give her life to the Lord, literally and figuratively. And we can go and do likewise. The Lord has called us to that. The scriptures teach us that. We have to go and do likewise. But maybe this morning you're here to say, well, Pastor, that's a really good message, and I can really appreciate that, but I could honestly say that I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Realization that you have sin in your life. We all do. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then you have to ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins, right? It's not enough just to admit it. We have to turn away from it. The Bible calls that repent, to go one way and then go back the other way. And then believe. This is the gospel right here. Believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. We have to believe in what Jesus has done for us. We have to believe in what God has done for us through his son, Jesus. He was a real person. He lived a sinless life. At the appointed time, he went to the cross and he died and he was buried, but the grave could not hold him. And God allowed him to come back to life, proving that he was God's gift for the sinful world. And he rose again. And then we have to commit our life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. That means he's our Savior because he's forgiven us, but he's our Lord because he's our boss, right? And we make him the Lord of our lives. So if you want to know Jesus today personally in a way that Lottie Moon did, as a way that a lot of people here in our church do, that's what you need to do, is to make that decision between you and the Lord today. And so Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. As we sing this song, you can pray a prayer of commitment right there where you're standing. Just a simple prayer, a heartfelt prayer, as you humble yourself before the Lord to put your faith and trust in him. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe there's another decision you need to make beyond that. Maybe God is calling you. You know, we want to call out the call. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary, to work in ministry somehow. Maybe God is calling you to something else. You've been sensing a stirring in your heart. And you need to make that commitment. You don't know how it's all going to work out, but you know you need to do it. The first step is just to make the commitment. And then after that, God will show you what you need to do. Maybe you need to make that commitment today. I'll be here at the front, and I can talk with you and pray with you and whatever decision you need to make. If you want to reach out to me later, I would ask you to fill out the Connect card that's in front of you. Drop it in the offering box as you leave out so that I can contact you later on, and we can talk about how the Lord's been working in your heart. But we want to help you get to that next step in your life spiritually, okay? So please let us know how we can help you. So let's pray, and then we'll sing and let the Lord do his work. Father, we thank you today for the life of Lottie Moon, and we've just glanced over her life. There's so many more things that could be said about this magnificent woman who served you faithfully in China for years and years. We thank you for the heart and passion that she had for the gospel. We thank you for her love for the Chinese people. A love that kept her there for 39 years. And I pray that we could look at her life and remember and reflect upon that and praise you for a life that was given for the gospel. And Father, we know that we all can't be like Lottie Moon. We're not all called to go. But Father, there's still ways that we can be actively involved in missions, in prayer and in giving and sending. So Father, perhaps you're laying upon someone's heart today to do that. And Lord, we just ask that they would have the courage to step out in faith and be obedient to you. Father, we ask you to just have your way in us right now. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.